Well, that was some exciting stuff happening. Who says church is dead? Unexpected things always happen. God is the God of the unexpected. We really never know what's going to happen. But one thing about God is God is not capricious. God is always the same. I said last week that God is one who is steady. You look at Allah, the Islamic God. Allah is very capricious. If you become a Muslim, you can be the best Muslim ever since Muhammad. And if Allah is having a bad day when you stand before him, they'll say, go away, bye. Not God. The one true God says, I am the same today, yesterday, tomorrow. I stand with you. When you come to the faith, you're there forever. God never turns his back on you. But unexpected things happen. Anybody ever had an unexpected thing happen to them? Yes, sir, he has. Unless you're psychic. And if you believe that everything happens that is never unexpected for you, then you're not just psychic, you're psychotic. Because you get surprised by things all the time when it happens. You know what the weird thing is? The candle broke. Huh? You can't see it from there. But the candle, this is worth showing. I have never ever seen this before. The candle broke. Oh, didn't you? Oh, okay. Why did you say so? This is fun. The candle broke. And then it looked like it caught on fire and was burning the candle at both ends. Or, Dr. Lund. May have wrecked our runner here. But in any case, we have some names. Names are funny things. In our scripture this morning, it talks about Herod, Jeremiah, Archelaus. How about Bilbo? You know Bilbo? How about Bilbo Baggins? You know Bilbo. Bilbo Baggins of the Shire Bagginses? Not the Sackville Bagginses, but the... Bilbo Baggins was a hobbit. The creation of J.R.R. Tolkien. Lord of the Rings. Although he started out in The Hobbit, which is the first of the books. And Bilbo was a hobbit. Since you don't know, I have to tell you, hobbits were about this tall. And they were kind of fuzzy. They always went barefoot. They had huge feet and fur on their toes. And they ate all the time. You get up and feed the cats in the morning. A couple hours later, they want to eat again. We say, okay, second breakfast. The hobbit thing. Because hobbits eat. Then they have second breakfast. Then they have 11 Z's. Then they have lunch. Then they have, you know, they're eating all the time. They love to eat. And living in the Shire, which is a very peaceful little place, Bilbo never had anything unexpected happen to him. Never. Until one day, somebody started banging on his door. And a whole bunch of dwarves came in. Yes, that's correct. Dwarves, not dwarves. Followed by a wizard named Gandalf. The dwarves were about the same height as Bilbo, but much wider, heavier, and stronger. The wizard looked like a person. The wizard did something. He said, Bilbo, I want you to go with these here dwarves on an adventure. Hobbits don't do adventures. They're almost housebound, agoraphobic. They like being inside. They don't go places. They don't do things. But he went on an adventure. Unexpectedly. The invitation was unexpected. The company was unexpected. He went out naive and unprepared, unaware of what was going to happen. He didn't even have a go bag. Anybody hear of a go bag? You have a go bag? Used to, don't anymore. The way I pack, I can get a go bag in 3 minutes in a Publix bag. A go bag is a bag you have set up. You need to go, you go. and you've got several days worth of clothes and supplies there. Ever had to use one? Actually need to use one? I haven't either, but on occasion, especially during hurricane season, we would set up go bags. We always had enough warning, we didn't need them well in advance. Go bags. Minnesota, we had go bags in a car in wintertime. Change of clothes and stuff like that. Survival kits. I have the stuff in my car. I got a toolbox in my car. I've got a full disaster kit in my car for certain. I've got stuff in here. I think I have two complete changes of clothing in the culprit. They're cruddy outfits, but they're in there. Always be prepared for the unexpected. God said that, by the way. Not the Boy Scouts. God said always be ready because we don't know the time or place of his return. Be prepared. Have your spiritual go bag. Don't be like Bilbo. You gotta be more like Jack Reacher. Anybody know Jack Reacher? Jack Reacher travels around a lot, fixes problems for people, has lots of luggage. He has his passport. He has an ATM card. And he has a folding pocket toothbrush. Frank was just going like this. That's all he has. That's all he needs. But back to Bilbo. Bilbo received a call. It was from a wizard. He said, go with these dwarves. Many of us receive a call. Most of us. All of us receive a call. Telling us where we're supposed to go in life. And when you get a call from God, a specific call, we all have a call from God to follow through in our lives of faith. But everybody has that call. But sometimes God calls you to something specific and big. John Calvin said there were two types of calling in life. One was vocation, one was avocation. If Pat here is a lawyer, that's her vocation. That's what she does. But her calling is maybe to do pro bono law as an advocate. If you're a full-blown call to pastoral ministry, like us, you wind up doing volunteer work on the outside. Not necessarily directly attached to your call. But sometimes when you get a call, it's very unexpected. And when Bilbo got called by the ward, by the wizard and the dwarves, he went, and he sort of, kind of, maybe had fun. In retrospect, he was writing his book and getting all the acclaim afterwards. He had fun. But his unexpected journey, which was The Hobbit, is written from Bilbo's perspective as if he's writing his autobiography, and he called it The Unexpected Journey. It changed his life, and was for the better. He wasn't ready, but he went anyway, and he survived. But he had help from the dwarves, from the wizard, and people he met along the way. He had help. Joseph and Mary had help. And I'll bet you they didn't have a go bag either. When God said, get up and go to Egypt, I don't think Joseph had a duffel bag sitting there. And when they were in Egypt and God said, Joseph, go back to Israel, he didn't grab his Samsonite baggage. They went. They didn't have all that much either to carry, but they went. How would you like to be that guy? How would you like to be Joseph? Joseph always gets the short end of the stick, you know? Yeah. He's married, kind of, sort of, but not really, to a probably quite a bit younger woman who just so happens to be pregnant. Many years ago, I did a Christmas Eve sermon in character, and I was representing Mary's father, tell the story. What am I going to do? Here I got this young kid. She comes back. She's knocked up. She's not pregnant. What do we do with this? Just think of the thoughts. When Mary comes home and says, Mom, Dad, I'm pregnant. It's okay. I wasn't fooling around. Didn't get raped. God. You want to try that excuse? I don't even get very far. But Joseph, he gets the short end of the stick. Everybody pays attention to him? No. Everybody pays attention to Mary. Pay too much attention to Mary, not enough to Joseph. But to be pregnant at that point in time wasn't all that disastrous. It was quite common. Because even though you hadn't gone through the formal marriage ceremonies, once you had posted the banns in church, as it was, a little bit later on, you lived together. It's just that Joseph and Mary weren't living together. So Mary couldn't have had a baby by Joseph. So it was problematic. Just like it was in this country not too many years ago when you had a young girl wind up pregnant. Again, if the kid was his, wasn't a problem. But it wasn't. That's the first time I've ever used that word wasn't in a sentence that I actually written down. It was rough. Joseph had a couple calls from God. Because he was going to be nice and divorce Mary in the right way. God said, keep her. It's a good thing. You got a go bag, and your go bag is me. Do what I tell you to do. Joseph didn't divorce Mary, but then he sent to Egypt. Then got sent home. What does this mean for us? Great story, isn't it? Maybe to make a movie of it or something. They could call something like The Greatest Story Ever Told. You do know that is a movie, right? But everybody, everywhere, everything, it isn't there. Wherever we, they, it may be, are working parts of God's plan. One of the arguments against evolution, good one, is called something simplistic. Basically, it's a mousetrap. Mousetrap has five parts. It's got a slab, it's got a spring, it's got a catch, it's got a release, and it has a bar. Five parts. You take any one of those away, and guess what? It doesn't work. Irreducible simplicity. You can't just materialize myself. In your body, you have something called a clotting factor. You cut yourself in your blood clot. It takes seven different enzymes to make that system work. Take one out, it doesn't work. You can't evolve that. If you say, okay, I'm going to go from a chicken to a bunny, chicken has a two-chambered heart. Bunny has a four-chambered heart. How do you go from that to the other? Slowly, piece by piece. You don't. It doesn't work. You get small changes in evolution. That's why you have 132 different kinds of parrots. But they're all parrots. Slight differences, things that can happen. But here, everything that happens, everything that's out there, these big changes, they're all working according to what God wants done. They're all part of God's plan. You can't take any part, any person out of history. Any person out of our lives today, anything out of your lives today, and have it work correctly according to God's purpose. If I went up to Bob and gave him what looks like a lighter, it's actually a super secret weapon that's also a time machine. Here, Bob, go back and shoot Hitler's mother before he was born. Is that a good idea? Maybe. The person who came instead of Hitler might be worse. One of the reasons I hope that time travel is impossible. Can't mess up the thing. But everything that does, even Hitler's terrible rampages, had something to do with God's plan. God doesn't do evil, but God makes good come from evil. Jesus didn't just appear out of thin air. That actually was an ancient debate in ancient history, that Jesus really wasn't born and grew up. That it was just, here he was. And he wasn't really a person. Kind of like a robot going around that was God. Just looked like people. It became an ancient heresy. Jesus didn't just pop out of thin air. He came according to plan. Which is why he fits into our lives. And he came with no warning. Okay, fine. There are 800 and some prophecies in the Old Testament. However, it doesn't say when. It doesn't say when he's going to show up. But God was enough for Mary and for Joseph. He was their go-back. Some biblical scholars say there aren't that many prophecies. Maybe only 300, not 800. Some say maybe a few more. But regardless of that number, the way Jesus showed up here in this world, for you and for me, he fulfilled them all. In 1958, I guess this was the first time it was done, a mathematician, astronomer, calculated that if you just took 8 of those prophecies, things like being born in Bethlehem, in a stable, just took 8 prophecies, the odds were 1 in 10 to the 17th power that one person could fulfill it. That probably doesn't mean anything to you. It didn't even mean anything to me until I wrote it down. 1 in 10 to the 17th is 1 with 17 zeros after it. 1 in 100 quadrillion chances that anybody could just fulfill 8 prophecies. Doesn't happen. Chance. Everything fits. Every part of it fits. God was, always, and still is working in the background. Things are being manipulated around us. We don't even know it. It's miraculous a lot of times. And we don't see it. Because God is manipulating the odds. So when Joseph and Mary complied with the peace of God's master plan and went to Egypt and then came back, he was following what goes up. And this is Christmas. Christmas Day actually started what's called Christmastide. And it goes until the 6th of January, which is called Epiphany. As we get the 12 days of Christmas from. I'll tell you about the story sometime. Not now. But this is the ultimate season. The ultimate season for hope. The ultimate hope. All those things that he's talking about leading up to Jesus' birth, was born and died, was so that we might live. And people like Joseph helped along the way. Why don't we go out and tell it? Why don't we just do what we're supposed to do? Why can't we be a heraldic angel and say, Jesus is born today. Well, who is he? King of kings, Lord of lords. For Christmas, my Christmas wish for you and my Christmas gift to you is to remind you of who you are. You are a child of God, made in his image. You are redeemed by his Son, and you are supported by his Spirit. Always, now and forever. But praise God, from whom all blessings. Amen.